And I'm going to holler at you down here on the floor. Now, tease. Okay. All right. If you got a Bible tonight, and while you're turning, let me say it's been an honor and a blessing, and I do sincerely appreciate the opportunity and the privilege to come to New Hope and share with you the Word. And I trust this morning that you took some home with you that you can use in your life and share with others as well. And I appreciate that so much. 2 Kings chapter number 4, if you will. 2 Kings chapter number 4. Second Kings chapter 4. Okay, if you're there, we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what is thou in the house? And she said, Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad all of thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, thank you for the honor and the privilege again to come and share your word this evening. We thank you, Father, for your people that's here tonight. We ask, Father, that you'll encourage us through your word tonight. Help us this week to be a blessing. Thank you again, Father, for what you've already done and going to do. We ask that you'll lead and guide us and direct us. We thank you and give you praise for what you've already done today. And we love you and we praise your name for a beautiful day and for traveling grace. Thank you, Father, for ministering to us. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' sweet name. And we'll say amen and amen. Amen. What do you do when you don't know what to do? There's a story, it's a true story, about a little toddler. His name was Frankie. Well, he was a handful, to say the least. And one day, he pulled a chair over into the front window of his house, and carefully he placed it inside the drapes. And he was standing there, just looking out at the world, when his mother came looking for him. And she spied the little white legs protruding beneath the grapes there. Quietly, she slipped behind him to see what he's doing. Well, she got there just to hear him say to himself, in very somber terms, I've got to get out of here. Well, do you ever feel like that little toddler sometimes? Do you ever feel trapped? Do you ever feel like that you're at the end of your rope? Well, somebody has said, when you're at the end of your rope, tie another knot and keep on climbing. Well, let me ask you this. Does any of these apply to you? You're constantly at war with one of your teenagers, and you feel you're losing the war, and you're at the end of your rope. Your finances are absolutely a wreck. There's too much month left at the end of the money, so you're far in debt. You can't see your way out with a telescope. You're at the end of your rope. You lost a loved one and nothing seems to take care of the loneliness. You live in a constant state of heartbreak and you feel like you're at the end of your rope. Well, Elijah, the prophet, his name means God of supplication, is what his name means. And there's a great lesson that we can learn from this story. The same way that God met her needs is the same way God meets our needs. The same way God took care of her is the same way God takes care of us. The God who took care of her is every bit as powerful to take care of us today. She said, my husband is dead. Her back is against the wall. You see, life is not fair, okay? It's not fair. Life has never been easy. It rains on the just and the unjust. Sure it does. Well, she said in verse 1, she cried. Over in Psalm 77, it says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. In one day, she faced more than many people face in a lifetime. You see, God is bigger than your valleys, okay? He's bigger than your valleys. Her prayer was a prayer of desperation. It was a prayer of urgency. It was a prayer filled with tears. It says over there in Kings, I have seen thy tears and I will heal thee. The psalmist said in Psalm 56, one of my favorite verses, thou hast put my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? You see, everyone that's born again a believer, God has a tear bottle for you. All the tears that you shed over your church, your loved ones, lost souls, friends, God takes all those tears and he puts them in your tear bottle. And then when you're at the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to take all those tears and he'll pour them out on the altar. Now what does he do after that? I don't have time to get into. Okay? So you'll never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. Here's a woman with no stain, no spot in her life, but she knew where to go. She cried unto the man of God. I don't know the answer, but she said, I know one that does. She's in distress. She's in debt. She's discouraged. She's discontented. Have you ever been there? Listen to 1 Samuel 22. And listen to what he says. And everyone that was in distress, everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves into him. She explains the character to the prophet of her husband, the personality of her husband. She explains it to him. She said, man of God, why is he dead? Will you answer me that? There's no bitterness in her heart. There's no grudge in her heart. There's no malice. There's no hatred in her heart. You see, her husband went to the school of the prophets under Elijah. And she had some severe problems. You see, we're not exempt from the problems of life. That would be nice, wouldn't it? But we're not. There's nothing wrong having problems. Okay? Nothing. I mean, they had very little money back then because they used it all for her husband to go into the ministry. They didn't have no Social Security, no AARP, or Medicaid or Medicare. None of that. But he says in verse number 1, there cried a certain woman. Now that word cried, it means to moan. It means to weep. She's in a room and she shut the door and she's just pouring her heart out just a weeping. The sound of a broken heart. You see, she's in a desperate strait. Have you ever been there? There's a death in her family. But there's a debt in the family. The creditors has come. Now let me show you something. Hold your place. Go to Leviticus with me, 25. Over there, Leviticus 25. Flip over there. I want you to see this. Leviticus 25. We're going to come back to 2 Kings, but I want you to look over here and let's see about the creditors. Chapter 25 in Leviticus. Look at verse 39 there. Verse 39. And if thy brother that dwelled by thee be waxed poor and be sold unto thee, thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bondservant, but as an hired servant, and as a sojourner, he shall be with thee, and shall serve thee until the year of Jubilee. And then shall he depart from thee, both he and his children with him, and shall return unto his own family, unto the possessions of his fathers shall he return. So that's what they had to do back then. Ye work until the year of the Jubilee. You see, they had gone into debt. And this man, as I said, he's in the ministry here. And she sold all she had. And the prophet said, he asked her what she had. And she said in verse number 2, what thou hast in the house. And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Now, she sold all her fixtures. She sold all her furniture. I mean, here's a house totally empty, nothing in it. You can't declare bankruptcy. Either you pay out, pay up, or you ship out, one of the two. So there's a death. She's broken. The loved one has been taken away from her. She's in debt. Over her head, in debt. She don't see how she's going to make it. So there's this despair in the family. She just didn't walk up to the prophet, meek and mild, and say, I got a problem. I got a need. This woman is hurting. You been there before? God knows when we're hurting, okay? God knows that. God knows the situation we're facing today in our lives. He knows that. But this woman cried out in faith. She believed God cared. She didn't understand everything that was going on. But it says in verse 1, thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. You see, as I said this morning, faith won't work till you do, you see. Here's a woman, her hands are trembling, her lips are quivering, tears flowing down her eyes like a waterfall. I mean, just pouring down. And she's where many of us have been today. Why, God? My husband loved God. My daughter loved God. My brother loved God. My son loved God. They feared God. They served God. They honored God. Why, God? I can't get a job. I can't change. I can't work. There's no work for me. My husband was a good man. He was a godly man. But why? There's despair in that family. There's a death in this family. There's a debt in this family. You see, often God will use trials and heartaches and burdens of life to bring us to the place where we can honestly see our need and our own ability to meet that need. You see, as long as we think that we can handle things, why should we look to the Lord? If we think that we can handle it, why should we look to the Lord? Why should we turn to Him with our questions if we think we can handle it? You see, as long as we think we can, He won't. Okay. So if you got Jesus, you got all you need anyway. You see, she thought all hope was gone. I mean, the Bible says, in Jesus is all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in your body. She's saying, man of God, he's saying to her, get your eyes off your circumstances. That's what he's trying to say. And place them on the one who is greater than your circumstances. In verse number 2, she says this, he does. And Elijah said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me what is thou in the house, and thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. You see, the world, the flesh, and the devil are going to tell you that God doesn't see, God doesn't care. He's going to tell you that. But God does care, and God does see your problems. I love 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. I love this verse. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. I love that verse. He says in Proverbs 15, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good, you see. So there is a desperate situation right here. But there is a divine solution. Ask what you should, what he's going to say. He asked her two questions, really. What do you need and what do you have? She needed everything, but she had nothing. But a jar of oil. That's all she had. Just that one pot of oil. She couldn't see her way out. She knew that she couldn't see everything, couldn't understand everything that was going on. But the first thing in her mind was to ask, what in the world do I need all these vessels for? I've got this one pot of oil is all I've got. The old prophet, he's lost his ever-loving mind. You see, the oil and the vessels didn't add up. But the question was, how valuable was that jar of oil? Well, first of all, it was a significant object. She almost forgot it. She found it in the cupboard in the house is where she found it, you see. She forgot all about it. You see, that oil is a type and it's a picture of the Holy Ghost in the Bible. It was a sacred object, you see. It was a slighted object also. She didn't realize what she had. She overlooked that oil altogether, which proved to be a saving object. She thought all hope was gone. This is all she had. And he says in verse number 3, then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. Well, she had an oil well right in her kitchen, and she doesn't even know it. And verse number 4, and when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy son, thou shalt pour into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. You see, some things are to be done with the door shut. The empty vessel is going to be in one place, and the full vessel is going to be put in another place. Why? Well, the believer, the Christian, is to be set aside. He is to be separated and set apart from the world, you see. I love Isaiah 44. He said, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessings upon thy offspring. Well, Brother Bo, what does that have to do with me, okay? Well, you have the same oil well in your heart if you're a child of God. Listen to John 7:38. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You see, there's not a need in your life tonight that the Holy Ghost in you cannot meet. In that oil, a miracle took its place. But he asked her a second question. In verse 2, he said, what hast thou in the house? Now, this was designed to teach this widow that it may look like she had much, but in reality, she already had everything she needed to attain what she had, what she wanted. You see, but God had already given her the very thing that he would need to use to meet that need. He already gave it to her. All she had was that pot of oil. That oil, it refers to a flax. It was an anointing oil, what it was, used by the prophets to anoint the men that was in the ministry during that time. And that oil was set in the household there, unused since the man died, just sitting there. And she failed to realize that God has already given us everything we need to get our needs. We failed to realize that God has already given us everything we need. Now think about it. If you're saved tonight, he has promised to hear your prayers. Jeremiah 33. Call unto me and I will answer thee. He has promised to answer your prayers in Matthew 7. Ask it shall be given you, and seek and you shall find. He says, if any man asks anything according to his will, he heareth us. You see, when you find yourself in depression, don't look down. Look up. What's done is done. You can't bring it back. When you're bruised and you're beaten and you're battered and you're criticized and chewed out and everything else, get your eyes off the past. What, it's gone. You can't bring it back. Leave it alone. Look to the present. Look to the future. You see, afflictions is no respecter of persons. Okay? He knows every detail of our existence right now. Every detail. He's never late. I promise you that. He will always arrive at the right instant. And he may not always be there when we think he should, but he will always be there when he should. Okay? Psalms 34, he says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. You see, there's somebody out these doors this evening that got worse problems than you ever thought about. There's always somebody. Like Isaiah said, we all got problems. Sure. But Peter says, I said this morning, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You see, she's not to ask any questions. Just do it. The size didn't matter. The color didn't matter. The shape didn't matter. None of that. Just make sure that they're all empty. Why they got to be empty, Brother Bo? Because an empty vessel is a clean vessel. And only God can fill an empty vessel that's clean. Isaiah 66. As the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. And he says in verse 4 in this chapter, and when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thy sons, upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all those vessels. Well, what about what we do have? Have you ever thought about that? What about the things that God has given us? Okay. Moses, all he had was just an old rod. But God used that old stick to part the Red Sea and turn it into a cobra. He gave Peter some old fishing nets. They go out there and catch 152 fish. I wonder why 152. You know, 152 fish. David, all he had just a little old slingshot and five smooth stones, and goes out and gives a Goliath a piece of the rock. That's all. Maybe all she has is a jar of ointment. But God did great things with those. Now, he told her to do three things. You shut that door, you pour out the oil, and you fill up the vessels. Now, to be shut in signified her dependence. Pour out the oil signified her obedience. To be filled up signified her abundance. Obedience is better than sacrifice, according to Samuel. Okay. She poured out in faith. Look at verse 5. She went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Now in verse number 3, then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. In verse 4 he says, thou shalt set aside that which is full. And in verse 5, we need to realize that we need to obey. He says in verse 5, so she went from him and shut the door upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Now, there's a lesson in verse 5. The lesson of God's provision. God will do exactly what he has promised. Okay, God will do everything he has promised to do. He will do. He'll do everything he promised to do. He said in John 10, he that called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken. God's promise, got to do it. But there was a limit on God's provision in verse 6. But there was no limit on the amount of oil. The only limit was on the amount of vessels. There was no debate about it. There was no discussion about it. There was no disagreement about it. She goes out and she does it immediately. She didn't beat around the bush about it. You see, God will test us by our faith. But God measures us by our obedience, you see. God will test you in two ways. He'll test you by your patience, and he'll test you by your obedience. Those two things he will test you by, only those two. But God is able to meet every need, move every mountain, and solve every problem. Jeremiah said, is there anything too hard for thee? In Genesis 18, he said, is anything too hard for the Lord? In verse number 5, look at it again. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. This woman had enough to provide for her debts, her desires, and her dependence. The only limit was on the number of vessels. Had she brought a million vessels, she would have had a million vessels full. Great blessings bring, great faith bring great blessings, and little faith brings little blessings, okay? Now, maybe she didn't have much, but Brother Gene, she had God. That was enough. That was enough. She didn't have much, but she had God, and that's all that matters. See, that oil stayed as long as there is a need.
The oil stayed. There was a blessing. That oil stayed as long as there was an empty vessel. The problem was not that Hannah ran out of oil. She just ran out of vessels. Okay, her miracle depended on her obedience. And when the oil should have run out, there's still oil in the pot. I heard about two men that went to a lake to do some fishing, trout fishing. Very, very close friends. They hadn't been fishing together in many, many years. And they got together and went out fishing. And they got in the boat. And they didn't know each other's fishing habits. And they stayed and they fished all day. But one had a strange habit. Every time he caught a trout, he would pull out his ruler and he would measure that trout. If that trout was larger than the ruler, he'd throw it back in the lake. Well, at the end of the day, the fisherman, he kept all the little trout and he threw all the big trout back in the lake. And his partner watched that all day long. They got ready to leave and he says, I've never seen a guy fish like you in all my born days. He said, you kept all the small trout and you threw all the big trout back in the lake. Why did you throw all the big trout back in the lake? The man said, I only have an 8-inch frying pan at home. Well, the question is, how big is your frying pan? You see, God wants to give us 12-inch blessings, but we got an 8-inch faith today. That's our problem. God wants to give us 12-inch blessings, but we got little faith today. So I trust tonight that this woman and this story shows you what God can do to meet our needs as well as He did this woman tonight. Okay? All right. Let's bow for prayer. Brother Gene, would you lead us in a word of prayer tonight, brother?